Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back with you again.
Oh, yeah, always good. Sunday night, talking about the Word and Holy Spirit ministry and
Amen. Everything. Amen.
Whew, where else would you rather be on Sunday night?
Nowhere else but right here. Exactly.
Yeah, if you were...
Tuning into The Gift of Grace.
That's right. Yeah, we have the perfect face for radio. And for those of you, who were with us the last couple of weeks, we did, I think, a two-part study on Acts chapter 10.
Yes.
About Cornelius and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, at the end of it, the Holy Spirit falls on everybody who's in Cornelius' house.
Yeah.
Circumcised and uncircumcised, covenant and non-covenant, Jew and Roman, mm-hmm. male and female, presumably.
Yeah.
Everybody who was there, like some of the people were, getting coffee in the kitchen, and some people were eating cookies while they were listening to Peter finish talking, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls
on
the whole place, because Peter, in a very Pentecost morning-like speech, filled with the Holy Spirit, talks about salvation through Jesus, and talks about how he's the Messiah, and it's only through him you can have remission of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And as Cornelius and his household is listening to this, Holy Spirit falls, and they pray in tongues, and they dance around, and the worship team goes crazy, and they have an awesome charismatic home group.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, wow, this is really cool. Let's baptize them since we're here so we don't have to come back later. That's kind of like Acts 10 in a nutshell.
That is. That's Acts 10 in a nutshell.
Yeah, but then, Acts 10 is followed by Acts 11. Like, if you have an Acts chapter 10 in your Bible, you'll see the next chapter is Acts chapter 11.
I have that in mind.
Okay, cool. I'm glad they're in numerical order.
Yeah.
And so Peter, we're going to have Stephen read this in a second. So when this amazing experience is over with, and Peter's experienced it along with everybody else who was there, he goes back to Jerusalem, and there's kind of a new twist to this awesome experience that had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, why don't you start reading Acts chapter 11?
Okay.
And we'll see what happens to our friend Peter.
Mine starts at verse 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles, too, had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them?" Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision. Something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.'"
Mm-hmm.
"This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's awesome. What a great passage.
Oh, man.
Wow. So not only did we summarize Acts chapter 10, but even Peter summarized Acts
chapter 10. He just did, right there.
And he said to all these guys, now these are circumcised believers. These are Jewish believers.
Right.
This was some messianic prayer group in Jerusalem.
Yeah, I think it's important to explain that when you're saying circumcised believers, that means those who were Jewish,
yeah,
who had been circumcised.
Yes. So he was at a messianic congregation,
yeah,
at this point, and he summarizes to them what happened, because their accusation is, wait a minute, Peter, Simon, or whatever your name is, you went into the house of uncircumcised people and you ate with them, and you hung out with them,
yeah,
and you had home group with them,
yeah,
and you, what are you thinking? You know, what are you doing? So Peter summarizes, he says, let me tell you what happened in Acts chapter 10. No, he doesn't say that.
He says, just wrote Acts chapter 10, says, and now we're going to start 11.
He goes, we're at 11 right now.
Take some notes.
Yeah. Luke hasn't written this yet, but he's in the back taking notes. But he says, he summarizes in great detail. I had the vision. Mm-hmm. These guys came to the door.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Cornelius' house. And I was telling them about the Messiah. They believed it, and the Holy Spirit fell.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether they were Jews, whether they were Gentiles, whether they were circumcised believers, not circumcised believers, but they had information that how they and their whole household would be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, as I spoke, the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Yeah.
Just like it did on us at the beginning.
Yeah.
So he says to them, this experience that happened at this unclean Gentile house was the same experience that we had in the upper room a few weeks ago,
yeah,
or a few days ago, whenever it was,
mm-hmm,
at that beginning. Now, these guys also have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Then it says he remembered the word saying, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because if you remember back, Jesus tells them that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind them,
exactly,
of everything he said.
Exactly.
So now Peter goes, oh, I remember now. He said, we're going to be baptized in the Spirit. John just baptized in water. Mm-hmm. And John the Baptist too said, I'm baptizing you with water, and this is nice. You know, this is mikvah-like, but it's nice.
Right.
But the one who's coming is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire.
Exactly.
Now, they would have had no way to know what that means, but now these guys who are listening know what this means.
Yeah.
These guys that are listening now know that that happened to them Pentecost morning, and it just also happened to the people at Cornelius' house.
Yeah.
And this is pretty exciting. So Peter responds to this criticism in actually a very good way.
Oh, yeah.
And he summarizes it by saying, if God gave these people the same gift that he gave us, who am I to say anything?
Oh, wait a minute. You're not going to be able, you can't receive that.
Yeah. Or who am I to say, wait a minute, God, you're only supposed to give it to us.
Yeah.
And this kind of reminded me of what you said last week. You have people that say, well, you know, how come those people are, you know, those people don't have what we have, and those other,
yeah,
people over there, the Holy Spirit can't possibly be over there. And,
yeah,
and this was almost what was going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter gets the point of it by saying, if they've gotten the Spirit like we have, who am I to say anything?
Yeah, there's one time I was talking to somebody, and they go, they were talking about a certain group, and they go, you know, those people don't know the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you can't make that. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Because now you're placing yourself in a position of elitism. That,
exactly,
I can get the Holy Spirit, but those people there, mm-hmm, oh, Jesus Christ died for those people.
That's right.
as well.
That's right.
And, you know, it's a place of pride.
Yeah. I have the right formula for it.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, you're okay. You're making a rebuttal comment. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. Sorry. So we can't, you know, certainly there is discernment. Mm-hmm. Certainly there is fruit. We need to see what fruit is being born from what people do.
Sure.
But if it's not out of love, it comes to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why Paul writes that great letter in 1 Corinthians, chapter, what is it, 13, I think it is, about love.
13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if it's not out of love, it's not done with love, it's going to come to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this awesome experience happens with Cornelius and his whole household and Peter, and now they're back. You know, Peter's explaining this when he gets back to Jerusalem. And, you know, you see two things in here. One, about when Jesus says, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, but it's the thoughts that arise in their heart. What comes out of their mouth.
Exactly.
What comes out of their mouth. Speaking. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing is, these Gentiles were baptized. They weren't in the camp.
Yeah.
They weren't the circumcised people. They weren't the covenant people. But now the covenant that Jesus makes, the new and everlasting covenant, the new and eternal covenant, ratified in the blood of Jesus, is there for the remission of sins for all those who believe in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it kind of resembles what happened in the book of Numbers, which is, is that your favorite book?
I think it's my favorite book. Numbers might be my favorite book.
My favorite book.
Well,
anyway.
I keep running to me too. I like Romans and Hebrews. And I really like
But Numbers is fantastic.
Oh boy.
Because what happens in Numbers, what happens in Numbers chapter 11 is when Moses has the big prayer group. The two guys are late for church and they get the Holy Spirit too.
Yes.
And then the people are going, hey, wait a minute. We saw Eldad and Medad out in the camp prophesying. They weren't here. And you see the same thing happening in Acts chapter 11 in 10 and 11.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit's falling upon the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Peter says, who am I to withhold what God's doing?
Yes. And we're going to get a little bit of that. We're going to go through some of that stuff in Numbers because I really like Numbers. But
your
you know,
book.
The interesting thing that happens there is Joshua, Joshua's not just some whiny guy who says, let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt. He's not some whiny guy who says, I'm sick of this manna. Can't we have something else? Is there a Wendy's around here? I mean, can we do something else? He's Joshua. You know, he's going to lead, he's going to lead the people after Moses dies. He's the one who says, hey, Moses, there's two guys over there that were supposed to be here at the meeting, but of course they're never on time. So, you know, they're way over there and the Spirit fell on them too.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses answers him kind of in a parallel way to what Peter says. Moses says, I wish everybody had this.
Yeah.
I wish everybody had the Spirit and prophesied.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cause, you know, in Acts 11, in Numbers 11, and this is at 16, verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, assemble for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders and authorities among the people, and bring them to the tent of meeting. When they are in place beside you, I will come down and speak with you there.
Mm-hmm.
I will also take some of the Spirit that is on you and will confer it on them, that they may share the burden of the people with you You will then not have to bear it by yourself because if you go back and read earlier, Moses was, you know, they were, the people were really grieving and they were really taxing Moses.
Oh yeah. He had it.
They were complaining. God's fire comes down and starts consuming the outskirts of the camp.
Yeah.
Because they're belly aching.
That's right.
You want to complain against me? Okay.
So
Moses, God assembles them. And then, like you said, two of the guys are outside of the camp and they get the Holy Spirit too.
Yeah.
And then, Joshua,
who's one of my heroes.
Yeah. He says, Moses, stop them. we saw Eldad and Medad. They're prophesying in the camp, but they weren't there. They weren't there at the prayer meeting. How did this happen?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how did they get this?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, it's a parallel situation.
Yeah. And it's important for us to, you know, as believers, it's important for us to understand that, just because somebody wasn't at a Life in the Spirit seminar, mm-hmm. or just because somebody wasn't at the Pentecostal gathering, mm-hmm. or whatever other
event. Or they came 15 minutes late.
Or they came 15 minutes late. And just because they weren't there doesn't mean that God can't, because that person has the intent to be there, mm-hmm. and the desire to be there, and the desire to know the Lord and His truth, doesn't mean that when you're praying for somebody or for a group of people, God can't fill the person who's on their way in their car driving down the street with His Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And they get to the meeting and they go, man, this awesome thing happened to me when I was driving here. Like 5 minutes ago, I felt this, you know, this rush of wind and fire.
Yeah,
and now I started to prophesy and you go, well, how did you get that? Because we were praying for the people here.
Yeah, and you were driving over the turnpike.
What's up with that? And you have to say, hey, turn to Acts chapter 10 and 11 and let's read that.
Let's read that. Yeah, and interestingly, too, in that passage you read from Numbers 11, if you notice this, God says to Moses that He's going to take a portion of the Spirit that's on Moses, and He's going to put it on these 70 elders. It's not a full outpouring of the Spirit. Pentecost, there was a full outpouring of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Since Pentecost, there's been a full outpouring of the Spirit. When we read that passage, those passages in Acts 10 and 11, it's not a situation of God saying, I'm going to take a portion of the Spirit that's on Peter, and I'm going to put it on those other guys in Cornelius' house. Pentecost morning, He doesn't say to them, I'm going to take a portion of the Spirit that's on Peter and put it on the other 119 guys. It's the Spirit's poured out on all of them.
Yeah.
They're all baptized in the Spirit all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
all 120 of them, all the people in Cornelius' house, all the people in our time that have had the baptism of the Spirit.
Right.
And when this happens, Peter quotes from Joel chapter 2, or in some translations it's in Joel chapter 3, but we don't want to get into that.
Have we ever come across that?
No. So Peter says, let me tell you what's in Joel chapter 2, or you guys might have it in chapter 3. But he says, you know, this is to fulfill what the prophet Joel said, mm-hmm. that the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, young or old. You know, he goes through these things. Old men, young women, old women, slaves, free people. The Spirit's going to be poured out on all of them.
Right.
And it's not going to be taken from one person, a little portion, and given to another.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the first break already. I'm just getting revved up. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I want to be close, close to your side, where heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Wow, good that's song. A great song.
You know, interestingly, that passage that you read, those passages you read from Numbers 11,
mm-hmm.
the setting of this is that the people are grumbling. Imagine
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
People were grumbling because they wanted meat.
Yeah, that, they were tired of the manna.
We're tired of manna. Boy, if we were back in Egypt, we had all that cool stuff to eat. Man, we had all that stuff. We had better restaurants. There were nice malls there we used to go to. But, you know, what are we doing out here with this guy?
Yeah.
We want meat.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some meat here. You know, there's a rebellion going on.
Yeah.
People are grumbling. So there's disunity. There's, you know, a whole spirit of rebellion.
They weren't praying of one accord.
They were not praying in one accord. That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Then when you get to Acts chapter 2, and we've talked about this many times.
I didn't know you were going to go there.
Yeah. You got 120 people in the upper room, and for 9 days, they're praying in one accord.
Yeah.
There's no disagreement.
Yep.
It's one accord. There's no rebellion. There's no division. And the Spirit is poured out without measure.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, if he's not, the Spirit can't come until he's glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So the full outpouring of the Spirit that we know of as Pentecost, and even many of the revivals that have taken place over the world at different times, especially in the early 20th century when all the Pentecostal charismatic movements started,
mm-hmm.
all that is the pouring out of the Spirit in full measure, because Jesus has died, risen, and been glorified.
Yep.
So in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, this had not happened. So there was a Spirit was poured out on a prophet, and he said something.
Yeah.
Spirit was poured out on another prophet, and he said something.
Yeah.
You know, Spirit fell on Hannah, and she said a song. Spirit mm-hmm. fell on David, and he said something. But now, the Spirit's poured out without measure. When in that passage from Numbers, it says that God told Moses to gather the people, and he came down in a cloud.
Yeah.
This was the Shekinah. They came down in a cloud. They came on the elders, and it said they prophesied once. They only prophesied one time.
But did not continue, yeah.
Yes, and it says specifically they didn't do this again.
Yeah.
Now, this is not true in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Peter didn't just prophesy Pentecost morning and then never again.
Right.
Paul didn't just preach one time, then never again.
Right.
All these guys that we've been talking about didn't just do one thing and then they disappeared.
And stopped, right.
Because now they don't have a portion. Not that the Spirit can be divided.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, but they had a portion of the Spirit. But now, in the New Covenant, in the New Testament church, you have people that have the full outpouring of the Spirit. They don't just prophesy one time. They don't just do an evangelization one time. They don't just do something once and then they never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened in Cornelius's house. Now, it doesn't tell us anymore after that what happened to Cornelius and his relatives and his friends. We don't know. Did they go right. back to Rome and preach?
Right.
Did they go? I mean, they were Spirit-filled believers now.
Right.
So they were probably, like, pretty exciting all over the place. So wherever they went, I'm sure they kept up with their charismatic home group.
Yeah.
And they told everybody the story about Peter coming to tell them the gospel and how they were filled with the Spirit. Once he did that.
Yeah.
And when this cloud comes down on those, on Moses and those guys in Numbers 11,
mm-hmm.
in Acts 2, the Spirit doesn't come in a cloud. He comes with fire.
Yeah, wind and fire.
Wind and fire. It's a rushing wind, and he comes suddenly.
A mighty wind, yeah.
Suddenly and with power. You know, the guys in Numbers 11, God said, gather everybody together. And I'm going to take a portion of the Spirit that's on you, Moses, and I'm going to put it on those other 69 guys.
Yeah.
At Pentecost, the Spirit came suddenly with a driving wind and then the fire. When they're at Cornelius' house, the Spirit comes suddenly, it says, while Peter was still talking.
Yeah.
Like you said last week, they didn't pray for the Spirit to come. They didn't break up into small groups.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. He just suddenly came.
He wasn't even finished.
That's right. He wasn't even finished because the Spirit came suddenly and with power.
Yeah.
And so we know that at Pentecost, everybody got an individual gift. Everybody got an individual flame.
Mm-hmm.
At Cornelius's house, presumably, all those people that were there got some gift.
Yeah.
We don't know what they did, but they went around being Gentile evangelists, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. The gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't segment out the Holy Spirit.
Right.
God may gift you more in one area than another, but it doesn't mean that God can't use you with another gift because, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't nine little Holy Spirits with nine different charismatic gifts. He's one Spirit.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's an outpouring of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And from the outpouring of God's love comes all those charisms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ability to prophesy, the ability to, you know, receive a word of knowledge, to lay on of hands and heal someone. But it's all done in the name of Jesus, and it's the outpouring of God's love through the Holy Spirit that enables the believer to go forth and to proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, interestingly, when we're looking at Numbers chapter 11, there's this discontent with the people because they're brought out of Egypt. God set them free, took them out of the land of slavery, and they're out there for a while, and then they're like, you know, I think I'd rather be a slave. I mean, think about that. God sets me free. Jesus sets me free from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if I turn back, I'm really saying I'd rather be a slave to sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have the gift of God's everlasting love, everlasting life. And, you know, we're no different sometimes than the people that were in Numbers 11 in the wilderness with Moses. Because how many times have people received the Holy Spirit and then we backslide?
Yeah.
You know, it's a human condition.
Sure.
We do it a lot.
We leak.
We leak, yeah. And we tend to want to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very, I think, very compassionate with our brothers and sisters so that we can minister to each other in a loving way that builds up the body and strengthens one another.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the bickering and the complaining and the division.
Yeah.
Because if we're not praying of one accord, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly right.
Because Satan wants to seed the sow of discontent, of discord, of disunity and bitterness, resentment and all those things. But God's Spirit wants to sow a seeds of love, of joy, of peace, of all the fruits that, you know, that Paul outlines in Galatians 22. Galatians 22?
No.
Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Galatians 5, verse 22. That's what I'm thinking of.
You added too many chapters to Galatians.
I was thinking of the verse, chapter 5. Galatians 5, where he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're evident in the believers' lives, then they are, you know, they're walking with and cooperating with God's grace, and they're cooperating with the Holy Spirit that those fruits become evident in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Jesus says, well, you're going to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it doesn't bear any fruit, it's like that withered fig tree. Where it's like that fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit, he cursed it and it died.
Yeah, and if the tree has beautiful leaves and doesn't have any fruit, you know, it's like the Pharisees with all their beautiful stuff on.
Yeah,
they didn't have any fruit.
Exactly.
Because what we need is fruit.
We need fruit.
Yeah, and interestingly too, whether it's, you know, Numbers 11, these guys prophesied and then they never did it again.
Right.
Interestingly, at Pentecost, everybody there was changed, and evangelism began.
Yes.
Immediately, Peter goes out, Joel chapter 2 or 3,
yeah,
and does. And Cornelius' house, another example of this is what the evangelism's doing now. Spirit's poured out there. Yeah. And the power of the Spirit is making all of these ministries possible and fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're starting to bring Gentiles into the body.
Yeah.
Gentiles into the church. And these guys who are the believers that are talking to Peter, now we're back in Acts 11.
Yes.
We're just flipping around here. But these guys who confront Peter, you know, they don't, you know, it's easy for us to say, gee, they should have got this. But, you know, from their point of view, this is pretty radical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cornelius, you know, he's not only a Gentile, he's a Roman officer, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not exactly the high priest or, yeah. And Jesus had told them that this was going to happen, that they were going to do greater things than he had done. You know, Jesus never walked into a house and started preaching and the Holy Spirit fell on everybody. And he did, it wasn't to happen then. But Peter and these guys do, in quotation marks, greater things than Jesus did, because they were uneducated people that now are preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit's following by falling on the people that they're preaching to and witnessing to. And they're doing it in the fullness of the Spirit instead of a portion of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is why when Jesus gives them the Great Commission, he tells them, all you have to do is one thing. You have to wait here till the Spirit comes.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be clothed with power. Then you're going to be my witnesses. Then you're going to go all over the world.
Yeah.
Don't try to go all over the world by yourself, because it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Don't even go stand on the corner yet until the Spirit comes.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about as the Spirit comes, those two times when Jesus had them drop the net over the side of the boat,
mm-hmm.
and they catch this large amount of fish, because each time they had caught nothing.
Yeah.
And Jesus gives them the command and the nets are almost tearing.
Yep.
There's so many fish, they can't hardly pull it in. Now when they're speaking and Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
You caught these fish, you're going to be fishers of men. You're going to get a big catch. What happened at Pentecost? 3,000. What's happening now? They're speaking the truth, and power is happening.
Amen.
The power from on high, the Holy Spirit is coming upon the people, anointing them, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit, and they're becoming believers,
mm-hmm.
in that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the church at Antioch, and I think this is important as well, is that when, you know, they go out and they start to speak to the Greeks, and they're proclaiming the Lord Jesus, and then they get the Holy Spirit, and news about them reaches the ears of the church in Jerusalem. You know, so they send Barnabas to go to Antioch, and, you know, they're like, okay, what's going on there in Antioch? Well, the Holy Spirit's fallen upon them too. So God's Spirit is being poured out on all flesh, on all mankind,
mm-hmm.
in great number,
amen.
And in great abundance, and in great power.
Without limit.
Without limit, and in great power.
And this is the model of ministry that we still have to use.
Yes. Yeah.
We still have to use this.
Right.
Because I remember one time when I was a new believer, had just came into charismatic renewal and so forth, I remember somebody saying, when you pray over somebody, you should have one ear listening to what that person is saying and one ear listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you have to always be open.
Yeah.
If you just preach the gospel, that's good. Don't get me wrong. That's a good thing to do. But when you preach the gospel and you expect Holy Spirit power, then it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're docile to the Spirit and you're going to let the Spirit flow like Peter did, that's how you have powerful ministry, because that's what the point of the Holy Spirit coming actually was. And if you're going to inhibit that by saying, well, wait a minute, how come you went to the Gentile house?
Yeah.
You know, people may say to you, how come you went to that place to preach? How come you went over there? How come you went to that guy's house?
Yeah.
How come you're talking to that Muslim guy over there? How come you're not going... You know, what are you doing over in that church?
Yeah.
You know, this is the same idea.
It's exactly the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, in our day and age, you know, I think sometimes people love their church building more than they love Christ.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah.
And I want to get off. I don't want to get off
yeah,
subject.
Yeah.
So, but the idea is that we're there to proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the building will be there if it's being utilized and used, and God will provide for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not preaching the name of Jesus, well, guess what? The house is going to be left desolate.
Yeah.
Just like God left the house of Israel desolate twice.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Destroyed his own house twice.
Yeah.
And another comparison I was thinking too comes, and it's in the book of Hebrews, which actually is my favorite book.
It is?
Yeah. I don't know who wrote it.
I thought Romans was, though.
Well, yeah, Romans is really good.
Well, get back to Hebrews. I'm sorry.
Hebrews is a great book. Anyway, I was just talking to a guy at my office the other day about this, and I said, one thing I'd like to do, I'd like to have happen when I'm in heaven, is somebody come up to me who I don't know who he is and says to me, I actually wrote the book of Hebrews. And I'll say, man, that's awesome. You wrote the book of Hebrews? And he'd say, yes, and I'm not Paul. That would be really cool. But anyway, you know.
I thought you were going to say that you wanted to write your own book.
No, no.
No, okay.
No. Canon's closed.
Yeah, that's right. That's
true. Yeah. So, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it's in chapter 3. It talks about how Moses is a servant in the house. You know, Moses is always referred to as the servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Revelation, it says we sing the song of Moses, the servant of God.
Yeah.
And the Lamb. But Moses is always called the servant because he's a servant in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the son of the house.
Yes.
The son of the house. He's not the servant in the house. He's the son of the house. And in Colossians 1:19, it says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So when a portion of the Spirit is taken off of Moses, this is basically the difference between the Tanakh and the New Covenant, because under Moses, the servant, you got portion of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
After the son of the house comes, the son who owns the house, the son who inherits the house, you get full measure of the Spirit, because now we come into the kingdom and we're kind of members of the house. We get to live in the house with them. Moses was the servant. We're servants, but we're different than that, because we get to live in the mansion. We're adopted sons and daughters.
Yeah.
We're co-heirs. We're co-heirs to the glory. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different paradigm, but that's the difference too between Numbers 11 and Acts 2.
Yeah.
Well, this is good too. Whew, another break already.
This is a new song for Gift of Grace.
Yes. Yeah. Check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I long to find you in your secret place, O God, under the shadow of your wings. Here in your presence, there's no place I'd rather be. I need you more than anything. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Like a mighty rushing wind, rise up and worship as we sing. All creation longs to hear the joyful sound. Come down.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
You know, as you were talking in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, it says, therefore, holy brothers, sharing in a heavenly calling, reflect on Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all his house. But he is worthy of more glory than Moses, as the founder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Every house is founded by someone, but the founder of all is God. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant to testify to what would be spoken, but Christ was faithful as a son placed over his house. We are his house, if only we hold fast to our confidence and pride in our hope. You know, and then he goes on to say about if Israel's infidelity is a warning to them, you know, in the community that's being formed in here in Hebrews. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at the rebellion in the day of testing in the desert, where your ancestors tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was provoked with that generation and said, they have always been an erring heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He continues on and says, take care, brothers, that none of you may have an evil or unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. Encourage yourselves daily while it is still today, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin. We have become partners of Christ if only we hold the beginning of the reality firm until the end. For it is said, oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at the rebellion. You know, so Paul is quoting from really, I think, part of Psalm 95.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because he's telling them, look, as in the day of Moses when they rebelled against God in the desert, that's a warning to us. Mm-hmm. In Israel's infidelity in the desert is a warning to us not to grieve the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but to follow the Spirit,
yeah.
and to be of one accord here.
Yes.
Because God's building the house.
Exactly.
Someone is maybe finding the house. God chooses someone to be head of the house,
mm-hmm.
but all of them are under God.
Mm-hmm. And we get to be in the house.
Yeah, we get to be in the house. So Paul quotes that there. But going back to Acts chapter 11, you know, this community of believers that's being formed in rapid number now,
mm-hmm.
is probably going to start to need some instruction.
Yeah.
You know,
you got them catechesis,
because the church is, God's pouring out his Spirit so
yeah,
fast on so many
right.
people.
That's
the church
right.
is growing in numbers.
Yes.
And not just in the camp,
mm-hmm.
not just those who were
yeah,
in the house of Israel,
yeah.
but those who are outside of the
yeah.
camp now. Just like Eldad and Medad were outside of the camp,
yes.
the Gentiles were outside of the camp.
And they have to be taught, they have to be discipled.
Yeah, they did. Those who did not know me will know me.
Those
exactly. who did not seek me will find me.
Amen. That's
and,
from Isaiah.
Wow.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite book.
And you know, you speak of Isaiah. I want to share something because I think Isaiah is my favorite book.
I think it's my favorite book.
My Numbers is good too, though. you know, I was praying about something, and the Lord really placed on my heart that, like, when you get a word from the Lord to give to somebody, mm-hmm. sometimes that person may receive it, sometimes that person may not receive it,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there's a little squabbling about it, and sometimes, you know, people have, I think most people are very well intentioned, and they want to give what they believe the Lord is giving. But if you're ever in doubt about the word that's being given, place it before God.
Mm.
Because in Isaiah 55, what does God's word say?
It won't return to him void.
My word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the will for which I sent it.
Amen.
So if there's a doubt or if there's question, God, is this your word? If it is, let it return to
that's
you
awesome.
In full measure.
That's awesome. I think we should close with Psalm 133,
ooh,
which is going to remind you of a song.
Ooh, I wonder which one.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Who sings that?
It's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Unity. When brothers dwell in unity, it's really good. It's like oil coming down. And it's not just somebody makes a little sign of the cross on your forehead with some oil. It's like your whole head is covered with oil. It goes down on the beard. It goes down on the garments.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a prefigurement of this total outpouring of the Spirit. It runs all the way down the garments. It's like dew. Mount Hermon is a really tall mountain with snow on it. Even in the summer, it has snow. And that water comes down on the mountains of Zion. And it's life forevermore because it's life in the Spirit. And when brothers dwell together, like the 70 without Eldad and Medad, 68 of them, they were in unity for a little bit, but then they only prophesied once. Pentecost morning, they prayed in one accord for 9 days.
Yeah.
The Spirit came suddenly. Cornelius's house, they were praying, they were excited, they were of one accord listening to Peter. The Spirit came. And the Spirit comes without measure in order for us to evangelize, to make disciples, to spread the kingdom. And again, I have to say, this has to be the basis for all of ministry. It has to be the basis for all of evangelization. It has to be the basis for everything that we do, because we as believers have the Spirit dwelling in us without measure. And so these things all tie together pretty powerfully.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was Psalm 133 that I read. It's one of, as you know, it's one of the Psalms of Ascent. That's 121 to 134. Psalms of Ascent. So you would say that as you were going up the steps to pray at the temple.
Yeah.
And it's so cool because, you know, Jesus prayed that they all might be one.
Mm-hmm.
Unity. Let's have unity. Because in order to spread the kingdom, we can't have 7,000 different groups all bickering with each other.
Yes.
Because we have to have unity in order to get the full power of the Spirit and do the full work of ministry. And I think this really shows itself in all of these passages that we've read. Oh, man, the show's over already. Woo!
Yeah.
It's good. Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And to close, I'm going to read from John 17. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon you in power and to unify the body of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.